everybody. Welcome back to another great edition of Talking Tigs. The end of the season. All the games are in the books. Just have the postseason now. I'm Scott Girard. Joining me as always, Tommy Johnson. And yes, we are back at full strength. Daniel Zollinger's back with us again, back from his incognito recruiting trip, which he's, well, he can't tell us too much about it, but I'm sure he'll share some details. But hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving, including y'all. Great weekend for college football. Great weekend for rivalries. Man, I wish LSU kind of had one because everyone left it all out on the field. Some after the final whistle, unfortunately, but lots to get into. Happy to do it with y'all. How y'all doing?
Good. Good to be with you. I mean, celebrating a Tiger win to cap off the season. Obviously, we'll have a bowl coming up, but you know, a very solid performance from LSU last night against a not great Oklahoma team, but an Oklahoma team that took down Alabama. So it just shows you in the SEC, like all the teams are, there's a baseline. All the teams are up to a standard, and you know, LSU went out on, I wouldn't say like a super high note, but they went out on a better note than the past like 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thanks, Scott. And hello, listeners. It's good to be back. I was on the Caribbean cruise last week. Maybe it was more of a baseball scouting trip going through Mexico and Honduras. But yeah, we actually did see a few like shops in Cozumel and stuff selling LSU merchandise. Maybe LSU is notorious for having people on these cruises. But yeah, had a fun time. And sorry I couldn't be here last week to discuss the Vanderbilt game, but I was able to watch the Oklahoma game on my cell phone on the cruise, notorious for bad internet connection, but caught that one. And yeah, glad that LSU finished the season on a high note. And yeah, good to break that down with y'all today. The season really blew by. It seems like it just started and now it's already over with LSU finishing 8-4. I guess still a bowl to go, but yeah, a pretty crazy weekend of college football overall. And so much to discuss there.
Yeah, and I couldn't even give you an idea of who we'd probably face in a bowl game or where we'd go or if it would, you know, I mean, if it's really going to matter, but be exciting to see. But yeah, I'd say overall, man, LSU finished the season as they should have, you know. I feel like this game is what we probably expected to see and should have been the outcome from previous games. I would say A&M and Florida games, you know, maybe even going back to USC, but obviously first game, we weren't there yet, especially Blake Baker's defense hadn't come to form yet, but good to see him finish strong in Tiger Stadium, a night game, welcoming Oklahoma for the first time. Hopefully at least they got a good taste of Tiger Stadium. But yeah, man, the Tigers did what they had to do. It was, it seemed like it was going to be another one of those nail biters early on, but then I think we kind of settled in and played our game. Had some big shots downfield with Nuss at quarterback. Kind of showed some toughness coming back into the game too. Our defense kind of figured out after Oklahoma punched us in the mouth at first, but overall, that's what we thought we would see. You know?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was a pretty complete win, probably the most complete game we played all year. Defense, very good. I mean, that being said, it's against an Oklahoma team that's not very good, especially on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, their offensive line, not great. But, I mean, Sage Ryan, I think, had his first interception of the year. Braden Swenson had a really good game at defensive end. With Weeks again showed some you know spirit there with some nice tackles. I feel like I think on the offensive side of the ball, like first half, kind of what we've seen all year. A little bit of, you know, can't put it together, having some issues, messing around with an Oklahoma team, which on paper is not not on our level. Yeah, not good. But it's like, and people are comparing it. I'm sure y'all have seen the memes of like Burrow getting kicked down against UCF and then, you know, Nussmeier getting like pushed down on his shoulder or whatever. But after that shoulder, after he came out for a few plays in the second half, I mean, the first half, when Nussmeier came back, it was like he was, you know, turned on. It was like they, you know, mm-hmm. powered him up because he was throwing darts. And Chris Hilton finally was able to catch the ball and do what, you know, what we've thought about, what we've talked about for, gosh, how long have we talked about Chris Hilton being a downfield threat? Years now. And he finally was two times. Aaron Anderson's the best player on our offense. He's been consistently rising every game. It feels like that, that kickoff return was electric. Really solid game from our running backs. I mean, Caden Durham looked good again, kind of back in form. I guess, you know, he had some time to rest and maybe the injury's not nagging him as much, but overall, solid game. I wish this could be more of our consistent play, because I feel like this play, you know, this offense and defense beats Texas A&M in the second half, doesn't lose the game. This offense and defense easily beats Florida. It just shows you, you know, that's really, I think, what an elite team does. It's not that an elite team is, you know, good. It's that they're solid all the time, because anybody can play great for a half or anybody can play great for a quarter. I mean, you saw that with, like, South Carolina has been a team that's been streaky all year and finished on a high note beating Clemson. It's really about the consistency, and it's about the, you know, a gritty team. And I think, you know, you saw that on the other side this week in rivalry week with Georgia, going 8 overtimes with Georgia Tech. You know, and Scott, I'm sure, you know, you would say, well, maybe Georgia shouldn't even be in that place in the first place, but hey, Georgia Tech gave it to them. They gave it to them for 4 quarters plus more, but the better team, I think everyone would agree, the better team outlasted them and got the win. And that's what elite teams do.
Mm-hmm. On the LSU front, there was really a lot to like from this performance, and I echo a lot of what you said, Tommy, that I wish we could see this level of play consistently across the season. Really, everybody did their job. There was only, I would say, one bad play, which was the Garrett Nussmeier strip sack and scoop and score for Oklahoma early on in the game, and that was to put Oklahoma tied with LSU late in the first quarter. And after that, it was mostly all Tigers, really ignited by that 100-yard kickoff return by Aaron Anderson. First kickoff return for a touchdown that we had seen since 2020, I believe the stat was. And yeah, after that, the defense was locked down. Whit Weeks was flying all over the field and meeting people in the backfield, recording tackles for losses. He, I believe, leads the SEC by a fair margin in tackles, up to like 115 on the year, which is not something we've seen in a few years, considering all the dominant linebackers that LSU has had in recent history. So that was awesome. And then, yeah, like the wide receivers, Kyron Lacy got into the end zone. He had been on a little bit of a cool streak, but bailed out Garrett Nussmeier a few times here. And you have to admire the toughness, both physically and mentally, from Nussmeier, taking a big shot, falling right down on the throwing shoulder and really going off gingerly. And I was sure we were not going to see him the rest of the game. I thought he was done for the night. And we did get AJ Swan for one cameo series, but I thought it was going to be I didn't know who was going to come out, whether it was Swan or Ricky Collins or whoever. But I thought it was going to be his show for the rest of the day. But whenever the camera flashed back to Nussmeier on the field for the series after, I was like, this can't be real. Like, wasn't he in there getting MRIs like 30 minutes ago, even less than that?
The heart on that guy's showing some real heart and grit.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
and you got to respect it.
And I think just a few plays later, he's hucking it 40 yards down the field to Chris Hilton, who makes an awesome catch in the back of the end zone to come down with it and really get the Tigers on a roll. So that's the type of heart you love to see from your players. And I wish we had seen that to close out some of these other closer games. You think about USC at the very beginning of the season in Florida as well. We had a few close ones in the middle, like South Carolina, Ole Miss, that could have easily flipped the other way. But when we're playing at this level, I don't know if you could say that LSU is necessarily a playoff caliber team, but we can beat playoff caliber teams on any given night. And we prove that, and hopefully we can parlay that into some future success. But at 8-4, the season's wrapped up. Overall, a little bit of a disappointment, but at least there was some kind of cherry on top here to beat SEC new entrant Oklahoma in their first ever regular season matchup with LSU, who we've owned them the past couple games between this, the 2019 semifinal and then the 2023 national championship. LSU's kind of Sooners' big brother at this point. But yeah, fun to watch, and we'll see how the rest of the season plays out across college football.
Yep, and I think as far as you said, building for future success, guys, Brian Kelly's already is holding on to receipts for next year because he is so proud after the win that I guess he thinks that they're gonna see somebody in the playoff next year in the championship. His words. But yeah,
I know he kind of guaranteed a national championship.
Yeah,
for an appearance, he guaranteed a national championship appearance.
I know. He might as well just get a leg tattoo, right?
Yeah, really.
Put it into existence that way. But yeah, I think that part of that could be if we see Garrett Nussmeier come back, and yeah, just how he finished off. Man, I think he just wanted to be out there as senior night. You know, there was these last time some of these guys are going to play in a Tiger, well, I don't know about a Tiger uniform, but at least Tiger Stadium again, and he wanted to be out there. So kudos to him. And yeah, maybe it is a parallel to Joe Burrow and how he got up off the floor and led his team to a championship the next season. Remains to be seen, of course. But I mean, that's what you want to see out of your quarterback. You want to see your running backs finish strong. I mean, we had a great week last week with Josh Williams, and you know, it was back to Caden Durham. But yeah, hi, Chris Hilton. Good to see you, buddy. He looked great out there. Where's that been? It looked like he learned how to not leave his feet and catch a ball in stride, which I think is why, Brian Kelly went viral again for yelling in his face. So glad to see maybe he can be coached.
All it took was screening "you're effing uncoachable." Right. He comes out
I can do a coach. I am coachable.
And a two TD game.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know. Everything else, I look good. I mean, the Tigers did not fold in the second half like they have been in a couple other games this year that, you know, they clearly should have won. So great. I think that can also go to the defense. They didn't let up. Weeks was all over the place. I don't know. Maybe he was happy that his brother or his cousin committed earlier in the week to LSU?
Yeah, Weeks' brother's number three, Zach Weeks.
Yeah. So, yeah, he's
in what position does he play, Daniel?
I believe he's a linebacker, so we can start three wide. Weeks in the middle of the defense. That's a pretty solid core, and I don't know when the first or the last time the three brothers were on the field at the same time is, I know there was the Edmonds brothers of Virginia Tech, but I think they played at different times. But yeah, still pretty cool that at least the LSU heritage is going strong there.
What about the, wasn't there the two brothers who played for UCF? One of them was missing a hand. Remember that?
Yeah. Was it Shaq Griffin? I can't remember his name.
I think they played on the same team. They're like twins. Yeah.
Okay. Well, and then, yeah, I mean, LSU special teams finally. See, that's what special teams can do to you or for you is LSU is, I don't know, it looked like we were going to sit there and play around with Oklahoma. But if you get a special teams touchdown immediately after they score, it wipes away that and it gives you the momentum. And I don't know, I think kind of after that, LSU kind of found a groove, which was what we needed. And now we wait to see who we might play next. Obviously, we're going into the postseason. Definitely not the playoffs. Definitely don't think we would have deserved a spot unless other teams in front of us had four losses, because otherwise I'd say our resume is pretty good. I mean, yeah, South Carolina, I hope they make it. They're a good team. I really don't think Alabama deserves it if it's coming down to three lost teams, because Oklahoma, really? It's not that they lost, but they lost bad. It was, 24-3?
That was an embarrassment by Alabama.
Yeah, and then they lose to Vandy, too. First time in well, forever for Vandy.
Yeah.
But anyway, well, I mean, being a ranked, well, I don't think they'd ever beat a ranked Alabama. But anyway, a lot of other stuff going on this weekend, too. Rivalry week. Man, it was nasty. It was almost like there was a directive, or I don't know if other teams were just watching Ohio State, Michigan, said, I want to do that. Because after all these rivalry games, I mean, which they can get chippy, sure, but I mean, they had to be separated. There was fights all over the place. I don't know, maybe the NCAA sent out an order, said, let's see something this week, boys. America's watching. But it was nuts. I mean, good games, too. Georgia Tech probably takes the cake. You said maybe Georgia shouldn't have been in that position. Yeah, but, I mean, they shouldn't have been down 17 to nothing either. So
yeah,
that's Georgia for you, I guess. I would expect them to disappoint me probably for a half in the playoffs. But, I mean, who's going to count them down? Who's going to bet against them at this point, you know?
Yeah, the Georgia game was crazy considering they were down. I can't remember how many points it was to Georgia Tech, but Georgia Tech had a pretty good lead early in the game, and then the Dogs kind of did what they do and come back late and storm in, and then they get into overtime. You're like, I think they're going to do this one. But then it kept getting later and later as they – and this was kind of the big first test of these new overtime rules that we saw with the trading two-point conversions, which was kind of odd.
Yeah.
Very different than the LSU A&M 7 overtime game in 2018, which took a lot longer in terms of time because they were actually doing like the starting from the 25-yard line stuff. This one was cool, but you could see it was like a little bit lackluster where they were on the 3-yard line. So you could tell both teams didn't really want to test like running the ball and just kind of giving that up. So they would drop back to pass, and then it was basically whether they could find one open guy on like a hot route or not.
Yeah.
And then Georgia did eventually come away with it, but Georgia Tech had plenty of opportunities. There was a few times in those overtimes where Georgia did not convert and Georgia Tech had the opportunity to win it, and then they couldn't. So hard to say that they necessarily deserved to win, but it was neat to see nonetheless. I also don't know why they needed to march the teams back and forth all the way down the field to switch sides after each one. That was just adding 100 yards of pain and misery. And then also it was weird how they give both teams a timeout for every single overtime, and Kirby Smart kept calling timeout on one play. It's like, okay, just give them like one timeout for the whole period and let them work with that. So that was a little bit frustrating, but definitely a spectacle to watch. I was on my phone watching the game, and then some other people were with me, and I kept leaning over. I was like, second overtime, third overtime, fourth overtime. You know, is this game ever going to end? And it eventually did. But so that was a fun one. And then, yeah, you mentioned the brawl, Scott, between Michigan and Ohio State after Michigan tried to plant their flag on the center of the field in Columbus, not knocking Ohio State out of the playoff due to however many other teams were losing, but definitely making a statement there on a kind of a lost season for Michigan since Ryan Day is having trouble getting the job done against their arch rival.
Yeah. It's 4 years in a row for him.
Mm-hmm.
A really disappointing loss. Yeah, a really disappointing loss for Ohio State there. And you know, I don't think this kicks them out of the playoff, but definitely, I mean, man, like you said, Daniel, we got to do a welfare check on Ryan Day after that one. And all I can think about is if he just recruited Jordan Allen, the Buford kid, it might have worked out better for him, but
I put it on a plate for him. I can't.
Yeah, you really did. You set it up.
The guy.
Yeah. You can lead a horse to water.
He wouldn't
have
until next year anyway, but I think Jordan Allen probably knew what was up. That's why he's going to Louisville, at least for now.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Oh.
Yeah, there was that. There was, you know, there's everyone's got a phone now. I think it was a broadcast shot of Ryan Day. He was just standing there with his arms crossed, and like somebody was running by him. He was just watching the melee, and he just mouthed, like, what happened? And you're the coach. Get out there. See what's going on. Your players are fighting. What do you think happened? Michigan is dancing in the middle of the
field,
trying to plant a flag. You don't see what's going on?
Yeah.
Guy, I mean, that kind of – maybe that's telling right there. But good rivalry. I mean, Michigan, who'd have thought – it just goes to show that records don't matter if it's a rivalry game. But, yeah, Michigan and, well, Yeah, just Michigan has Ryan Day's number, basically.
Yeah.
But it wasn't just them. It was UF, FSU got into it. I think South Carolina Clemson might have even had, you know, a little dust up. There was, oh my gosh, there was upsets too, of course. You know, that continued. Syracuse outlasted Miami, so.
Yeah, that was pretty bad for Miami. Kind of almost,
yeah,
I don't know about 100% ended their playoff hopes, but they got a couple bad losses with very few good wins on the resume, and now they don't even have the chance to play for the automatic ACC spot now, which is between SMU and Clemson. And Clemson getting in there, even though they did lose to South Carolina, so they might kind of steal a bid if they do take down SMU.
If they lose, though, they should be out, right?
The Ponies kind of sleeper out there. Not hearing too much about the Ponies.
Right.
Yeah, they've had a nice season, only one loss. And then you got some other teams that have kind of snuck up on it, like Arizona State in the Big 12 with two losses. Not the strongest resume out there, but they've been looking good. And then the teams early on in the Big 12, like BYU and Kansas State, they've all slid away. So Iowa State or Arizona State's going to be in the playoff, which is kind of weird because you didn't really see those two teams being that hot going into this year.
Notre Dame is quietly in there. They maybe could have lost to USC, but they threw like back-to-back pick sixes, which just otherwise USC was giving them a run. So again, yeah, great. Texas is only has one loss. It's playing for an SEC championship. I still think they're easily beatable. Same with Notre Dame. They only have that one loss to Northern Illinois. I think they're easily beatable. Same with even if Miami would have won, I still think they're susceptible as well. The only ones I think that are probably as good as advertised, probably Oregon, right? Yep. I don't think Ohio State is anymore. Obviously, I mean, I felt that after their. I don't know. I guess I didn't. I wouldn't hold it against them too much because they did lose to the number one team by like what, a field goal. So I guess, but I don't know, losing to 6-5 Michigan. That's pretty bad. So I would say, yeah, Oregon.
Is it Oregon and all the rest?
What's that?
Oregon and the rest. You know?
Yeah.
I might put Texas up there with Oregon kind of in the elite category. They did have that one loss to Georgia, and Georgia gets another crack at them in the SEC championship here. You have to think both of those teams are locked into the playoff no matter who wins at that point, though. And it's kind of weird because those two, well, I guess, no, Tennessee might have be locked in as well with two losses in the SEC and pretty safe knowing that they don't have to play. So not a bad spot to be for the Volunteers.
I'd say Tennessee's in. Vandy played them pretty tough that game, but then they pulled away. It would have been great if Vandy beat them, but Tennessee's in. That's fine. I don't see them making it to the title game, but whatever. Doesn't matter.
Man, I don't know if y'all – did y'all watch any of the Tennessee-Vanderbilt game there?
Mm-hmm. Vandy was Vanderbilt up 14-0 off the rip.
Yeah. It was looking bad for the Vols. But they – I mean, they turned it around. Nico threw two really nice touchdown passes to – is it Thornton? Is there like number two receiver? Something Thornton?
Can't remember.
Yeah, I believe that's his name. But anyways, it's Brew McCoy's number two because McCoy's injured. But he threw two nice touchdowns to them to tie it up, and then they kind of ran off with it. But that was a pretty good game for the first half that I watched. So I feel like this rivalry week didn't really disappoint. Like there were a lot of good games.
Yeah, and it was a rivalry week that was shaping up not going right into the week, but kind of preseason where it could be a little bit weird, where some of these rivalries were broken up a little bit due to the conference realignment, where teams like LSU and A&M had traditionally played the last game of the season. Not that that's a huge historic rivalry, but we had Oklahoma on the schedule. It's like, who really cares? And so there was a few of those like that, but yeah, the big games definitely delivered. And I think the playoff format has continued to deliver in terms of like drama going all the way down to the wire, saying who's in, who's out. A lot of teams have a chance because with the 4-team playoff, the field was pretty narrow at this point in the season. Like you kind of know who would be the real candidates, which would be like Oregon, Texas, and then maybe somebody like Georgia if they win, I guess, or even Notre Dame. But everybody's got a shot on the Group of Five front. Boise State continue their hot run, getting another big win. So if they win their Mountain West championship against UNLV, then they'll be the representative, and actually getting the bye is probably the highest, is one of the four highest rated teams. Meanwhile, the Big 12 winner would be the one left out, which is kind of crazy that Boise State would be getting a bye in the top four teams in the first round of the playoffs. But that's just how things have shaken out. I was a little disappointed about Tulane because they had some playoff hopes that got squashed because they put up a stinker on Thanksgiving Day against Memphis to kind of effectively eliminate them. I guess Army still has an outside crack at it if they win and Boise State slips up, but I still see the Mountain West champion getting that one kind of no matter what happens.
I don't know. I guess it depends how the playoff seeds come out. I mean, you can kind of tell who they're favoring already, but
they're trying to sneak Alabama in there at the back door.
Yeah, which is just BS because they just don't deserve it. But I guess they still think that it's Bama's good. It's good for the sport, or I don't know. Maybe they think because they travel well or something. I don't know. But that's nothing to do with football.
I feel like those losses. If you could have, I think you could have one of the either Vanderbilt or Oklahoma losses. You can't have two. If you got two, that's disqualifying, in my opinion.
Right. We'll find out, I guess, probably next. Don't they usually do a show on Sunday?
Yeah, they do the rankings. Yeah, rankings Tuesday evening. So it'll be interesting to see, because this week they had come out and said the stuff about they're not going to hold losing a conference championship game against a team. So that's kind of the big marker, is if somebody gets blown out in a conference championship game. Like, for example, if Penn State gets thrashed by Oregon and now they have two losses, like, is Penn State locked in no matter what, or would they possibly get dropped? Or somebody like SMU in particular, like, they only have one loss. They would go to two losses. Like, would they be out with a loss to Clemson, kind of stealing a bid? So this week's rankings, are going to be important, because that kind of sets the precedent for whether the winning or losing conference championship games will have much of an effect. So yeah, tune in on Tuesday, and then they got the championship game slate on Friday and Saturday, which should be a fun weekend.
Mm-hmm. And then we'll get the bowls.
So speaking of bowls, I do have some projected bowls for LSU. Tell me which of these matchups would you prefer for us? Okay. Music City Bowl, LSU versus Minnesota. Music City Bowl, LSU versus Nebraska. Texas Bowl, LSU versus Baylor, LSU versus TCU, both of those are Texas Bowl, or the Gator Bowl, LSU versus Duke.
I kind of like the Texas Bowl against Baylor, just because of the Dave Aranda, like,
that storyline.
Yeah, against LSU, although that's not really a super recent storyline, but I just think a little bit of a change of scenery going to Texas would be fun. None of those are like super appealing, but I guess that's kind of what you deal with when you're 8-4.
I think out of all of those, I'm going to have to go with LSU versus Nebraska in the Music City Bowl, just because of Matt, like, seeing Matt Rhule and like this kind of upswing Nebraska team, see what he can do. Mm-hmm. But I mean, yeah, like you said, Daniel, none of these are primo matchup, but you know, something to think about.
Yeah, I would probably favor the Music City Bowl too. Maybe the Texas Bowl, but yeah, I could care less about another Gator Bowl, you know, something in Florida.
Yeah,
it's just so far away from everybody. But anyway, I don't know. I think there will be lots of news before we even find that out. I mean, I don't know. Supposedly, rumor has it, Ricky Collins might be leaving. Mm-hmm. I guess maybe that's why we saw AJ Swan instead of Collins, you know, because we had seen Collins coming in earlier in the season for like garbage time, or, you know, if Nuss needed a break or something. But lately it's been Swan. So I guess he's probably leaving. We thought that probably would happen, especially if he came back next year. We thought it would have been because of Bryce Underwood, but he ain't coming. So
Yeah, Kelly had also mentioned that there's some LSU players who are supposed to be returning next year that we're not expecting, and that'll be an ongoing storyline over the next couple of weeks, I assume, is all that shakes out, who's getting high NFL draft grades, et cetera. But, I mean, the big names, obviously Garrett Nussmeier, the quarterback position. Some people saying Mason Taylor might come back for, I guess that would be a fifth year, and that would be a big keep for the Tigers, as he's already, I think, the all-time leader in receiving yards for a tight end for LSU. So a sure-handed receiver there. And then a few other guys on the defensive front. Who knows what Harold Perkins does after his injury, although maybe we play better without him. And then just kind of guys scattered all across the field. It's hard to turn down experience, I guess, even if it's not true top talent.
I mean, keeping an Emory Jones or a Harold Perkins, I think that only makes your team better, especially if, from what I've heard, you know, Emory Jones is projected to play guard in the NFL, but he's, you know, played right tackle for us. So maybe he moves to guard for us here in the next year. So, I mean, I'm anxious to see who we're able to keep, because Scott, you talked about it last week, but keeping like, you know, key players longer than they typically would stay is really the key to building an elite roster. So we gotta do it, especially with kind of the fallout of this past recruiting class.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we had in 2019, right? We had some guys come back that they could kind of tell they had something. I don't know. There's nobody on this team now that was there for that, but. I don't know, not even a coach, right? Like everyone, I think everyone's gone, but, maybe they see something, you know, maybe they do see it. Maybe that's why Brian Kelly's saying he's got receipts, and I wanted him to say, "We coming."
Yeah.
Give us
that's about like his keeping receipts is about one step down from the "we coming and we ain't backing down."
Right.
I could have a few "hold that tires" coming back in.
Right. But anyway, yeah, I don't know. It's should be a good bowl season, however it works out. But what else? I mean, I don't know that there's really anything else worth mentioning. We kind of covered it all. I'd say congrats to Kim Mulkey on getting her 100th win as a LSU women's head coach for basketball, but other than that,
yeah, I think that's mostly it. There was a few kind of the coaching carousel is already starting to turn after the last weekend of the regular season with some firings. West Virginia, Purdue both fired their coach. A few others in the SEC, not too much turnover. People kind of looking at Mississippi State, who finished 2-10, as maybe they let their guy go, but I think their coach has only been there for 1 year, so maybe they give him a little bit longer leash than that. Gus Malzahn resigning from UCF to become the OC at Florida State. Interesting move, to say the least. Hopefully he can turn things around at Florida State after their disaster of a season. Norvell might not be long for that position in general. So we'll see what happens. I don't know if I see LSU making any huge moves right off the bat, unless somebody comes calling, considering most people are pretty happy with it, other than maybe kind of Joe Sloan at the OC position. I don't know if we try to make a move there or give him another year, but it should be interesting to see how that works out between the coaches and the transfer portal opening now. See if we reach out to any big time players from other teams.
Yeah. I don't know. Do you guys think, like, let's say Nuss was going to leave, maybe he wasn't the ones coming back. I mean, LSU's been pretty fortunate in the transfer portal. I mean, we still have a recruiting season to finish up, but I don't know. Do you think, LSU could land somebody? I don't know. Is there some big need out there that you think we have? You're like, man, we need to pick up this in the transfer portal, or let's just forget about it next year.
I still feel like defensive back is a position of need. Defensive line still, you know, remains a position of need. Sure. Offensive line is going to be a position of need with especially if Will Campbell and Emory Jones leave. I mean, I think Will Campbell's gone, but I think, I mean, Emory Jones, let's say he does leave. I mean, you're going to need something, whether that's in the, I mean, so I could see, I don't know. I think we're going to know a little bit more over the next couple of weeks who is the marquee players in the portal. Cause it's not just what our position of need is, but also what's available. But I mean, if you remember, you know, this past year, we tried to go after a number of, you know, highly talented, defensive line. We went after a few defensive linemen and kind of whiffed on them. I forget their names, but like, you know, one of the guys went to Oklahoma, I think the other guy went to Florida State. To answer your question, Scott, I think yes, we need to make some moves in the portal, but
so the reason pretty that much we, every side of the ball, every position,
both sides of the ball. I don't know if, I mean, not every single position, but
22 new starters.
Yeah, really. I mean, if I had to pick, I would say safety, defensive line, defensive tackle, and offensive guard would be my positions of need.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that. I guess remains to be seen who else is leaving from us to who I think. All right, well, I guess we could use somebody there, but maybe they're leaving because they know that we are bringing somebody else in from the portal. That happens too. But speaking of talent, I don't know. Do you think there's any surefire favorite or solid favorite for the Heisman now that the regular season is over? Because not all of them are going to be – I don't think not all of them are going to have a championship game. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a tough question. And obviously the two big candidates as it shaked out came down to Travis Hunter, wide receiver / cornerback for Colorado. And who was one of the favorites going into the season, obviously is one of the most kind of electric players in college football. And then a guy that nobody expected, Ashton Jeanty, the running back for Boise State, who's just had a historic season piling up, I believe over 2000 yards and just kind of running over people against possibly slightly weaker competition in the Mountain West, but the numbers are just kind of so monumental where you're like, any other year that Travis Hunter's not doing crazy stuff, it would be a shoe-in for Jeanty, especially you compare it to the last few running backs who have won, like Derrick Henry and Mark Ingram from Alabama, and Jeanty's got way better stats than them. But then you're like, well, Travis Hunter, he's got 12 receiving touchdowns and 6 interceptions, and he plays 97% of the snaps. It's like he's kind of like the craziest football player out there. So it's hard to say. I think they're going to give it to Hunter just because they kind of want something like crazy to win. And he's the big name for the big time hyped program in Colorado with Deion Sanders. I do think maybe Jeanty's a little bit more deserving because he's kind of like the best at what he does. Meanwhile, Travis Hunter's probably in the 90th percentile at everything, but maybe not the like super top guy. So it's a tough decision, and it'll be pretty telling to see how the Heisman voters, I guess. Yeah. Voters, end up deciding there.
Yeah. And it's usually former Heisman winners, but, Hunter's not even like a top 5 in receiving yards. So it's crazy. But again, that's what having other highlights to use help. I mean, that's what kind of helped Tyrann Mathieu get into the, you know, to become a finalist. I mean, you could say his defensive play was good enough, but then he could also return punts and kick. He could return punts for touchdowns, which was nice. So I don't know. I guess in a year where everything is just totally wide open, that's why we're coming down to, well, there's this guy from Boise or there's this two-way player from checks notes Colorado. Okay, well, I mean, I don't know, he made a name for himself years ago though, right? Like he signed with Deion, but he did it, he got a million, right? Like he got a million to sign with him. Yeah,
I mean, he originally went to Jackson State, right? He was the number one player in the nation signed at Jackson State with Deion. So yeah, I mean, he's been on, I think Daniel, I think you're right. I think it probably is going to be Travis Hunter just because of the, I mean, he's basically had a 3-year Heisman campaign at this point. Yeah. So I would probably say it's going to be him, but I do kind of agree with you that that Boise State running back is probably more deserving at his position. He's probably the best. I mean, he's clearly the best running back in all of college football, but I think it's got to be Travis Hunter. That's just me though.
Right.
Plus he's on the cover of a College Football 25. So they knew it was coming.
Doesn't hurt. Yeah.
No. All right. Well, what else you got? Cause I think that might be everything.
Yeah. I think that's a wrap. We'll see how the bowl invitations shake out this week, and yeah, tune in both Friday and Saturday. Friday, they've got three, I guess, group of five. I don't even know what they call them these days, conference championships. And then Saturday, all day slate, including the SEC championship at 3 p.m. Central, Georgia versus Texas. So that should be fun to watch.
Yeah. I mean, who do you think? Would it be harder for Georgia to just turn around and play a team you've already played and beat this year after that? Eight overtime game against Georgia Tech, even though it's right in their backyard, basically? Or is it harder for Texas to come into Atlanta, their first SEC title game? And I don't know. It'll be inside of a dome. I don't know if that will have anything to do with it. It'll basically be like a home game for Georgia. So I don't know. Who you got?
I put my money on the dogs on this one. I think the lights will be too bright for Texas. We saw Texas struggled last year on the biggest stages. And so I think it's going to be the same. Give me the dogs.
I actually think Texas is going to get their revenge. They've been playing well. Yours getting back healthy, and line right now is Texas -2.5. I'm not sure if they cover, but at least in a close one, I believe that the Longhorns are going to win. And they were my preseason national champion favorite, so got to keep riding that.
Okay. Yeah. I really don't know yet, but if you were telling me to put money down, I don't know that I could put money against the dogs. Like I said earlier, I don't know. You can't count them out. It's like some games you obviously can, because they lost two. Probably they shouldn't have, but you can't count them out just with the comebacks they had against Alabama and then against Georgia Tech too. So I don't know. Can't wait to see what they do in the playoff. Now, other than that, I think that'll pretty much do it for us here on Talking Tigs. Definitely tune in. We'll have conference championships to announce, and I don't know, maybe we'll have a little bit better idea of where the Tigers are going bowling. But until then, stay safe, stay tuned, and we will talk to you all next time right here on Talking Tigs.